live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and it is a great day to just experience gratitude. I know there's a lot of things that are screwed up. We talk about that a lot of the show. But it's a great day to experience gratitude because these are the times which God has decided we will live. And gratitude, what's that stupid cliche? An attitude of gratitude. Actually finding ways to be grateful in times like these can help save our minds. Because we're in a life-changing, life-threatening battle with communism. It's not even communism. By the way, I don't know why more people aren't talking about this. I saw a piece in the Epoch Times, which should change its name to Epoch in the United States because that's how it's spelled. It's a really important publication, Epoch Times, Epoch Times. They have a columnist who is mirroring what I've been saying for the past several months. And it's not just because he's mirroring it. I'm sure he came to his own conclusion on this. That what he says is U.S. companies are pushing along with the party, because they're members of the party, for a China model. They want corporatism, corporate statism. It's quite clear to those of us who are paying attention that they're working absolutely hand and fist together. The party and so-called companies like Amazon. I mean, Amazon at one point was a company. It was a private company. That's over now. It's not a private company anymore. It is an adjunct of the government. It does the will of the government, but only the party's government. That is technocrats, statists, and leftists. Give you an example. Next week, I'm running an interview with a woman who's written a book called Detox Detrans. I can't remember the rest of it, but it's a book for parents whose kids have suddenly announced, I'm the opposite sex, shoot me up with wrong sex hormones, demanding it. In states like Washington State, which is a separate country, effectively Seattle's a separate country, they can go get that done without parental permission. In Oregon, they can get chopped up surgically without parental permission in Oregon. The parents have to pay for it, but the statists have decided that they're going to do that. So this book is about how you can help a child through that confusion, which is being forced upon them by the party. Amazon.com, 4 days after that book went up, Amazon.com disappeared it. Because they do not want parents to know that 98% of kids who get this confusion overcome it without having their genitalia chopped up and without being injected with wrong sex hormones, 98%. They don't want parents to have the knowledge of how parents and actual caregivers successfully guide kids through that without the terrible medical consequences. So they disappeared that. This is the second time they've disappeared a book like this. Because in the world of Amazon, an adjunct to the party, there can be no argument. There can be no discussion. But even from the left coast, we're going to see more, and we're seeing some great signs of actual heroics that are appearing. Some actual red pill
opportunities. We have demands, and they need to be met. And I feel like I've been saying this too much.
Literally, all the officers can kill themselves.
We're not asking you anything. We're telling you what's about to happen with your permission or not.
So, of course, there are more riots in Seattle. There were arrests last night. Yawn, yawn, yawn. Of course, it'll be reported as protests, of course, even with vandalism. And thank goodness there was no major destruction last night. Antifa, which MSNBC is still pretending is an idea, the foot soldiers for Black Lives Matter Incorporated, the co-founder of which, Patrice Colliers, just purchased a $1.4 million home in Topanga Canyon, a mostly white area outside of Los Angeles. Incidentally, was at one point one of the places that Charles Manson stayed. I'm not comparing Patrice Colliers to Charles Manson. I mean, the Manson family only took, what, four lives? Patrice Colliers' organization, Black Lives Matter Incorporated, that looks like a joke to them. They've taken far more lives, or caused them to be taken, than Helter Skelter did. Antifa and the SEIU want the same thing. They want the China model. Antifa thinks it's going to be a full overthrow of the country, and some people think it's going to be anarchy, in which case those with the most, you know, with the most tools of violence and willing to use them are the ones who would rise to the top. There's never going to be such a thing as anarchy. Anarchy results in people with all the bullets and all the brawn and all the willingness to employ that rising to the top. That's what that results in. This is some sounds from Seattle last night. And yes, I did mention the SEIU. And yes, I did mention them on purpose because Republicans have to go on offense. Of course, they're pretending that this has something to do with Minnesota. It's an every night happening in Seattle. And they'll continue these tactics until these tactics are finally stopped. So why did I mention the SEIU? There are people who are funding the legal defense of Antifa and Black Lives Matter Incorporated. And some of these people want the same things. Obviously, they want the same things. There's an opportunity to go on offense. County sheriffs around the country should be looking into and investigating these groups. They should be looking for who is funding these groups. Because it's an organized act of chaos. It is organized terror. Here's a model for you. In Oregon, there is a RICO suit that has been brought against the SEIU. Why? Because according to the people who've brought the suit, and the Freedom Foundation, God bless them, is helping with this, so-called executives at the Oregon SEIU forged an organ worker's signature in order to deduct money from her paychecks. Does this surprise anybody about the so-called leadership of the SEIU that they would engage in tactics like this? Republicans, you have an opportunity to take a RICO lawsuit like this and bring it into Washington state. The SEIU is hand in fist with the so-called King County prosecutor, Dan Satterberg, who, according to the Freedom Foundation, rented his office to the SEIU so that they could track down their political enemies. If there was a serious effort on Republican sides or conservative sides to stop the onslaught of this China model in our country, we would connect the dots between the SEIU and the funders of Antifa, and the dots are not that far away. The radical groups for whom Kamala Harris raised money for the Minnesota Bail Fund will bump right up against the radicalism of the SEIU, which gets to represent so-called government workers. And by the way, there's a one-step hop from the SEIU to the Oregon Speaker's office, the Speaker of the House, where, according to Andy Ngo, the legislative director of that office, Oregon State Speaker of the House, she's Antifa, according to Andy Ngo. She's been arrested at so-called protests. Where are the connecting of these dots? Mitch McConnell gave a floor speech the other day, or statement, decrying, very upset, that Joe Biden's dementia wants to pull out of Afghanistan. So Mitch is on really comfortable ground for him.
I think it's short-sighted. President doing this about consulting American people, consulting the United States Senate. It's short-sighted. It's a radical approach.
He's on solid Mitch ground. He can do the shirts versus skins thing. You have the SEIU aiding in the destruction of the country, a RICO lawsuit, and Mitch has to retreat to the comfortable ground of shirts versus skins. We're not going to retreat. Let's dig further into going on offense as Republicans, as conservatives. I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative. I'm a big person, small government type. Let's dig further into some offensive steps we could take. Republicans and conservatives and people who actually want to save America as defined, which is the grand experiment of people being governed at the consent of the governed. That's the uniqueness. That's what made us unique when we were founded. The limits on government. You get to govern us so long as you have our consent. It still remains one of the shining examples of American exceptionalism. So from media to local so-called public health officials, you have a metaphorically rich target environment. I said metaphorically rich. It's rich, I should say this, a rich environment of metaphorical targets. Where are the Republicans going after the so-called public health officials? Even in red states, like, for instance, in Texas, in Florida, you have so-called public health officials attempting to override the will of the people, the government, these unelected technocrats. Let me give you an example from Washington State. And this is replicated all across the country. You know this. There's parts of Sacramento that are very conservative. There's parts of Northern California that are very conservative. For gosh sake, the Idaho State House is hearing an argument from citizens of Oregon saying, please, please, please let us join the state of Idaho. Then you can have a coast. And I'm saying, please, no, don't do that, Idaho. So there's these conservative pockets around the country. Guys, topple the so-called public health officials. They're not health officials. They're agitators. This is from Chelan County, East Wenatchee. They say that their mission, it's their public health, to protect and improve the health of individuals and communities in Chelan and Douglas counties. This is a conservative area of Washington State. This is one of their tweets on April 6th. Advancing racial equity. This is a public health agency. For science, inequities in healthcare, income, education, and housing are caused not by race, but by racism. No, it's not. Science is not a conclusion, first of all. It's a process. One of the lies that has been pushed, and I just saw someone repeat this the other day, and they thought they were being compassionate. A black family posted on Facebook, oh, we've had a loss in the family and please help us with prayers. And some goof wrote in and said, sadly, your loved one probably would have lived had he had a black doctor. That was one of the biggest lies ever perpetrated on society. That white doctors, oh, it's just a black kid, let him wait. This is from Chelan County pushing this nonsense. for action. Work with local leaders to address racism as a public health crisis. I have an idea. Fire the racists. Oh, that's right. We're pretending it's a system. For health. Educating healthcare providers about the racial and ethnic disparities can reduce disparities in maternal mortality. You know what else can? Changes in attitudes and values towards food and education and exercise and recreation. Sweep clean the so-called public health authorities. If you're in Chelan County, if you're in one of the conservative areas of Oregon, one of the conservative areas of California, Montana, I could go through, I guess, name all 50 states. Republicans going on offense looks like getting rid of these agitators who are now polluting public health with pretend racism charges. Because if you're saying systems are racist, you're a liar. There can be disparities that don't come from racism, and that's why you no longer have to have proof of racism. They know that. To the media. No Republican should ever engage with the Mockingbird media in any other way than as you would deal with an opponent. You are never talking to a reporter until it's proven that you're talking to someone who's fair. But their editors are not going to be fair. Stop it. Stop pretending. The Seattle Times is not a newspaper. There are some very good reporters there. Nina Shapiro is a fantastic reporter. Mike Lindblom is a fantastic reporter. It's very sad to me what's happened to this newspaper. Let me give you an example of how far down they've gone the Mockingbird path. This piece came out 4 months after the January 6th riot. What do we know now? The New York Times has reported the Capitol Hill police were given advance knowledge this was going to happen, and they let it happen. They didn't employ even their basic things like keeping people away from the building, certainly not their most robust efforts or methods, tactics with which they can control crowds. They chose not to. 4 months after that riot, listen to this junk from the Seattle Times. Most of the people who took part in the January 6th assault on the Capitol, see, it's back to an assault. It's no longer an insurrection. Because it's hard to have an insurrection when people forgot to bring weapons. All right, let me start again. Most of the people who took part in the January 6th assault on the Capitol, polling and demographic data show, came from places that were awash in fears that minorities and immigrants were crowding out white people in politics and culture. The people who went to D.C. came from neighborhoods that are racist. So it was racist. 4 months afterwards, the Seattle Times is centrally located in the most racist city in the United States of America. Seattle, Washington is the most racist city in the United States of America. You have public school employees putting up on reader boards, stop white terrorism. White is an insult in Seattle at all times. At all times. You have segregated training classes in government offices. White people go to this training to learn about how you are a villain, a racist, trash. So-called people of color go to this meeting to learn that you are a virtuous victim. And that the government, peopled by white people, we stand with you to stomp out the racism because somehow we, the white people who run Seattle, we're not racist because we say we're racist. Got it? The going on offense looks like when you talk to anyone in the Mockingbird media and you are Republican or conservative, go in armed with opposition research on the reporter, on the outlet and on their editors demand that you record every single conversation. My bet, you'd be better off just doing email Q&As with them. Please start going on offense. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show. Appreciate you listening to the Todd Herman Show. That's me. Thank you for listening to the show that we do together. I'm getting notes from people. Are you going to talk about Afghanistan? I want our people out of there. Sorry. There's so much going on in our country that there's going to be, under Joe Biden's dementia, we have no idea who's running things. Joe Biden, as we were just talking about during the break, Joe Biden has no idea who's running things. So having a war going on that we long ago decided we're not really there to take over Afghanistan and we're not really there to country build, and I want our soldiers out. President Trump wanted that too. Now, of course, Joe Biden's dementia does it in this way. The same time as we have his nonsense, non-infrastructure bill, which is a social engineering bill that is designed to destroy American, the rural way of life in America. It's designed to destroy freedoms, to install racism. I mean, we are in a battle for our existence. I just as soon have our troops home to maybe aid in the rhetorical battle for our existence. And I'm sorry, I'm sort of fatigued with Afghanistan, and I'm not there, and I haven't gone there, and I haven't done three tours. I have friends who've done three tours. You know what friends who've done three tours have told me? This is a true sad thing I've heard a couple times. I cannot believe I did three tours in Afghanistan to come back to watch this stuff in my country, to watch my country treating its citizens in a precursor to the way the Taliban treated theirs. I've heard this two or three times from people. So my comment on Afghanistan is I don't want to pretend for 5 seconds that Joe Biden's dementia is capable of understanding any form of geopolitical struggle. I don't want to pretend that Joe Biden isn't completely corrupted in terms of the Ukraine and completely corrupted in terms of China, because it's quite clear to me Joe Biden's dementia is completely corrupted with all of these things and these aspects and Hunter Biden's rampant corruption, which is as clear as anyone ever, if you just take a glance at it. So that's my commentary on Afghanistan. I'm done. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. And I'm not the one living there. I've never been in combat. I'm not that guy. There's no desire to win. There's no plan to win. There is no winning. When our military is given the ability to kill people and break things at the level at which they're trained to do it, they're still the very best in the world. But maybe we shouldn't have them fatigued with China waiting in the background. With China being belligerent, maybe we should maybe pull our forces home for a bit to maybe recover for a bit in case, God forbid, China decides to find out who's running the country by way of pushing Joe Biden's dementia. There's another thing people have asked me about. Are you going to comment on this whole thing about Matt Gaetz? There's a reason I've been waiting to comment about Matt Gaetz. It's because I'm waiting for the actual story to come out. Because I don't trust the mockingbirds for a second. James O'Keefe has done it again. He has a CNN director admitting,
"Look what we did. We got Trump out. I am 100% going to say it. And I 100% believe it, that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have got voted out.
Our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was, right? So our next thing is going to be for climate change."
So now their next thing is to fool people into falling for the climate change hoax again. They're going to model it after the COVID. They're already announcing it. I kid you not, CNN just ran a piece, we'll talk about this tomorrow, that COVID-19 was a lesson for the globe on how to deal with so-called climate change, a global response, a lockdown, a tightening, a disallowing of disinformation, a calling of people dissidents, enforcing political ideas with the force of government. Not laws, political ideas. So why did I not have I not covered the Matt Gaetz thing? Because I'm sitting here waiting for the full story to come out. So here's part of the full story. So CNN, this is from the National Pulse. Raheem Kassam does a really great job there. The Politico wrote an article claiming that Matt Gaetz went to one of Trump's clubs with in an attempt to meet with Trump. And this article, or probably it was CNN. The reporter had worked at the Politico, so I got confused. So he went to Florida to one of Trump's clubs in an attempt to meet with Trump. But this CNN reporter wrote that he was denied the meeting. But he wasn't denied the meeting. It's Gabby Orr is the name of the CNN so-called reporter. He wasn't denied the meeting. She printed that based upon an anonymous source. And then CNN went on to say, well, Gaetz people haven't gotten back to us. We reached out to them, but they've got no comment. No comment is a way of saying guilty as charged. But they did reach out to her. So apparently she wrote to them using a non-official, non-corporate email, which a lot of people have. They replied to her using what every possible variety of what a CNN email address would be. They used direct messages on Twitter. She still has her old Politico email on her Twitter profile. They replied that way. They did everything they possibly could to reply because they're not going to reply to a Proton Mail. I have a Proton Mail account for sources and for working on stories they don't want people to know about. I have that. She has that. They responded and they printed that they didn't respond. And then once this was called out, she said in direct message to the National Pulse, honest mistake, I've passed along this statement to add in. Oh, boy, that's a mighty pickle. It's been updated. That was a sincere oversight at my end. I would never deliberately ignore a spokesperson's response to a requested comment. Then take the piece down. Then take the piece down. Tweet out the piece is in error. This is why I have not followed the Matt Gaetz thing. Because we know the game that CNN is playing, and this is so remarkable to me. I can remember the early days of media when I would be on panels with people who would say things like, I hate everything this man does on his show. I hate everything he says. And yet, of course, I stand shoulder to shoulder with him with his right to speak these words. Being on panels with liberals back when liberals were trying to be in talk radio. But we know the game that CNN is playing. Reliable sources, laughable name for Brian Stelter's show.
Again, I think it is a risk, not just to the corporation, it's a risk to our society to be promoting these anti-Semitic and racist myths that literally were used by people on January the 6th to try to not just interfere with the election, but to murder lawmakers. I mean, I think we've really crossed a new threshold when a major news network, you know, dismisses this or pretends like it isn't important. This has deadly significance. So number one, Tucker has got to go. And then I think secondly, Brian, Fox needs to look at their entire primetime lineup and finally ask themselves, does this work? Because at the end of the day, let's acknowledge, Fox isn't alone in this. They have advertisers.
That's CNN going after a personality on Fox, Tucker, but also their advertisers. That's CNN begging the victims of CNN to boycott the advertisers of Fox. That's CNN who has participated and pushed every hoax against Trump, a producer, and James O'Keefe found, said, yeah, our goal was to get rid of Trump. So was it the New York Times. They made that clear. They're not news entities. CNN is not a news entity. It's a mockingbird. New York Times is rarely, sometimes they still do news, sometimes. Rarely. Republicans, when you're speaking to these people, have an opposition research file on the reporter and the editors and treat them like opponents. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.
Did we get to hear the nice lady say who brought us just a few more things?
Unfortunately, we didn't. But
well, let's have the. Can you have the nice lady say it again?
We can totally have the nice lady say it again. All right. Let's get the ladies. All right.
The bumper music blasted in. Let's hear the nice lady.
Yes. All right. Here we go.
Just a Few More Things is brought to you by Heritage Homecraft.
I love that.
Yep.
Makes me feel like a big-time media person. People bring me things. They bring you portions of the show.
Yeah.
Let's get into Just a Few More Things. It's a quick arrangement of news-like items laid out in a logical and sequentially ordered way.
Just a Few More Things.
Featuring a great big voice. See, we've got the nice lady voice. I know who that person is. She's actually a terrific broadcaster. And I've never met Big Voice. But, man, could they be a partner crew? So we use the New York Big Voice to add to the fact that we insert order back into a world being made purposely chaotic by the party. Therefore, we number the items. We keep them crisp. You should see the whiteboard where we construct Just a Few More Things. Every single night, we don't just erase what we put up there. We cleanse the whiteboard, and every 2 weeks, we smash the old whiteboard into pieces and bring in a brand new whiteboard just so it's always, always, always well organized. Let's get into this. We do number the
thing one.
The left is busy saying, I'm not kidding. I'm just seriously not joking. Salon, Slate, pages, leftist pages like that are saying things like, of course, paying for people to have home health care is infrastructure. Of course. Teaching racism in the schools is infrastructure. MSNBC?
Oxford says it's the basic systems and services that are necessary for a country or an organization to run smoothly. Under that definition, it can be a lot of things. So what we have here is the issue is Biden redefining infrastructure for the 21st century?
Biden doesn't. He can't say the word. You know exactly what they're doing. They're taking a word that has a legitimate meaning, like the word woman means adult human female, period. And they're redefining it to man. In this case, they're taking infrastructure and they're redefining that to mean giving out money based on racial preferences to people with nothing related to roads, bridges, or highways. And in the case of the federal government, the only legitimate infrastructure is federal property, period. How do I know? Well, I looked up this thing called the Constitution, a word that used to mean something. That's how I know it. Next up in Just a Few More Things.
Thing two.
The Republicans, oh, they love this. Oh, they love it. They can go debate some infrastructure. They don't have to deal with scary things like saying critical race theory is racism. The SEIU is a corrupt organization. The Democrat Party is funding and helping domestic terrorists destroy the United States of America. Patrice Collier is the co-founder of Black Lives Matter Incorporated is a now wealthy domestic terrorist. Because those are scary things. Someone might call you a racist. So you get corporatist Republicans like Chris Christie so comfortable. Finally, shirts versus skins.
When people start to look at what he's really doing, George, those moderate voters.
But even the things you just mentioned right there are popular. People would love to have Medicaid increase.
People would like their grandparents to be taken care of.
Hold on a second. Here's what's not popular. Lying is not popular. It's not infrastructure, George.
Do you really want to use the word lie?
Yeah, Chris Christie's making a comeback, baby. Rested, tan. He's looking svelte. He's back, baby. Chris Christie. loves him some infrastructure debates. Oh, yeah. Medicaid, that's very popular to expand. Everybody loves it. When the same people who forced folks or conned them or terrorized them into wearing woke masks around their beaks and strapping around their kids, lied about the way deaths are counted, that's the people I want running my health care. That makes me feel like $100. Next up, in just a few more things.
Thing three.
Oh, yeah. And Chris Wallace, big fan of Joe Biden's dementia, refused to bring up Antifa to Joe Biden's dementia. Well, no, he did actually hint at it. Trump brought it up. Chris Wallace refused to ask Joe Biden's dementia about his domestic terror organization of choice, Black Lives Matter Incorporated. But man, he'll go at Pete Buttigieg about the infrastructure.
The economy will add 16.3 million jobs without the infrastructure bill and 2.7 million more with it. So it doesn't, as you said last Sunday, create 19 million jobs. Again, Secretary Buttigieg, why mislead folks?
Yeah, man, solid ground where he can say to Buttigieg things like this. But let's not get into any of the, sticky topics like this.
Thing four.
Let's not, talk about a war on voting, or hey, let's not bring up the fact in the mainstream media that two states' Supreme Courts, Michigan and Wisconsin, have said, yep, those votes were illegal.
I mean, that seems like it would be ripe for voter intimidation.
Oh, yeah. Well, it seems like there's a pandemic of apartheid that is spreading. Again, it's voter intimidation. Voter criminalization.
Yeah, Michigan Supreme Court, Wisconsin Supreme Court have said, yeah, those votes, wow, Trump was right. Those were illegal. But what can be done now? We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.